Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Appeals and Review meeting of the 1st of October 2018. I have a declaration to read. Would all people please note that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, please be advised that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulation 2014, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recording is not under the Council's control. If you have any queries about these arrangements, please speak to the Democratic Services Officer who is administering the meeting. Apologies, we have one apology for absence, that's our colleague David Gaskill. Sorry about starting so late. Another one of our members hasn't turned up, and we had to go and consult the Constitution to see that we can continue with this. Sorry about that. Next thing, we have the minutes of the previous meeting. I've read the meeting minutes, and to me they seem fine. Has anybody spotted any glitches or?
Mm-hmm. No, well, happy to take them then, Chair.
Sign them as being. Disclosure of pecuniary or personal interest. Does any councillors have anything to declare? No, I have nothing to declare. Right then, the main business of our meeting is item 6, which is the Borough Charnwood Forest Court Forest Road, the tree preservation order for 2018. So I'd like to call upon the representative of the Head of Strategic Support to introduce the report for us, Catherine.
Okay. As the Chair said, we're here to consider the Borough Charnwood Forest Court Forest Road Lough, the tree preservation order. We're here to consider an interim order which has been objected to, and those objections have not been withdrawn. Before the committee could confirm the order, they must first consider any objections, and there are representatives of the objectors here to address the committee this evening. Objections can be submitted on any grounds. The options available to the committee are to confirm the order with or without modification, or decide not to confirm the order. And the statutory test that you need to consider is whether it is expedient in the interest of amenity to make provision for the preservation of trees or woodlands in the area. So I'll hand you over to the Head of Planning and Generation to present the case.
Thank you. Chair's happy. Which one of you is going to?
I undertook an assessment of the trees at Forest Court. I walked along the highways, I walked through the site, I walked through the Loughborough Leisure Centre path and car park route, and I determined that the trees merited protection. They are contributing enormously to the quality of the townscape in that area. In particular to the frontage, they're providing a softening of the built form along the highway, and also between the Loughborough Leisure Centre and the accommodation blocks, they're also providing very valuable screening between them. And within the site, they are providing amenity for visitors and residents.
Okay, is that your submission?
That's the synopsis.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if any of my colleagues have any questions to Nola, please go ahead. One thing that struck me was the history of this. The Emmanuel Church Conservation Area was declared, mm-hmm. and it had been in place for a long time, and then that was moved.
That's correct.
Was that what left the trees exposed?
Yeah, do you want me to fill in on that?
Let Mark.
We undertook a systematic resurvey of the conservation areas within Loughborough.
Yes.
And that work was undertaken by a consultant that was employed by the council. One of the recommendations of that consultant was that part of the site should be taken out of the conservation areas. The buildings he felt didn't merit inclusion in the conservation area.
Are these the blocks of flats that
were
announced during the flats?
Yeah. And following that, there was also, during the public consultation, representations were made by the owner of the site that that site shouldn't be included within the conservation area.
Okay.
Following the views of the objection that we had, we felt that it was fair enough to actually take those out of the conservation area and revise the boundary. However, that left us with a little bit of a dilemma, in the sense that we felt that the trees were still of value, but it isn't necessarily appropriate to designate areas within a conservation area just because the trees need protecting. Tree preservation order is the more appropriate method to do that. So as the trees were removed from the conservation area and their protection was removed, we felt what we needed to do was undertake a survey of those trees to see whether any of them were worthy of serving a TPO.
Okay. The thing that struck me from reading this, there has been some talk about Charles Borough Council not providing an arboricultural assessment. Did we produce one, or did we?
We're required to provide an amenity assessment.
What's that?
Well, amenity isn't even defined in law.
Pardon?
And the notes at the back, if it explain, that's Appendix B. The immunity test is about using professional judgment. The law doesn't define immunity, but you have to look at various aspects of what contributes to the quality of a space.
Yes.
You know, often, you know, if you take the trees from out there away, you will suddenly realise the immunity value that they have provided. So it might be that they're framing buildings, it might be that they're providing screening, or the softening, the harsh nature of the buildings in terms of the visual appreciation of the scene, the street scene, or the townscape view that you're looking at. So that would be amenity, amenity value. So
it's because, you know, from what it struck me from reading all this, arboricultural, is that right?
Arboricultural
assessment. It's really very objective. It discusses each tree and all aspects of each tree.
It's a reductive process, but it fails to actually appreciate the amenity contribution of the trees, which is actually what we're supposed to be assessing. It's not meant to be an arboricultural assessment. It's meant to be an amenity assessment. Arboricultural surveys can contribute to that process, but it is not the be-all and end-all of the assessment for placing a TPO on a tree.
Right. If we had done something like that, would that have... Well, surely you have to have some method of saying, look, this tree is viable or this tree is not viable.
Yes. Well, I have gone around and looked at each tree, but I've also looked at the overall scene and the overall contribution of trees within this site. It was originally part of the vicarage, historically.
Yes.
So the trees are of importance from that point of view. If you like, it's a cultural heritage aspect to them. But certainly when the flats were built and subsequent development occurred there, there has been... if you like, some lessening of the quality of the trees to works that have been undertaken, and it is considered expedient, and indeed the expediency test allows for the council to consider placing the trees under TPO as a precaution against further loss or damage to the trees. So it's there in the guidance from the government on the placing of TPOs on trees. So we look at the amenity and we look at the expediency. That's what I've done.
So it's really just a subjective look at and say, yes, I think it's...
Well, you use professional judgment. I am a qualified landscape architect. I've been involved in making landscape assessments for a number of years, looking at all sorts of developments and assessing and reviewing applications for close on to 10 years, you know,
right.
It's wind farm applications or whatever type of development it is, I've been involved in that process. So I've assessed the amenity value of these trees,
okay.
And I have judged them to be important for the locality.
Correct.
And what they contribute to that locality, the street scene, but also the qualities between two land uses. And providing a screening between the leisure centre,
yes,
and the accommodation,
yes.
And just the general improvement and the quality of having trees in an area where if you didn't have trees, you just have harsh walls.
Yeah. and you are putting a TPO on all the trees in the area. Are there any ones that are not considered viable?
At the time I assessed a pine tree that had been badly damaged by some unauthorised works was excluded from the TPO because it is recommended that tree come down.
And the cherry tree as well.
I don't think it's... Well, the cherry tree, that you mean T4.
It was T2 or T4. I think it wasn't always a cherry tree, I think.
T2 is the pine tree.
Okay.
Beside it was another pine tree.
Yes.
Which has been left as a main stem, principally, just a very small lateral branch on it. So its crown is substantially damaged. So that's not TPO'd, the tree that was beside, when I assessed it in April. It was standing, photographs that showed it, although I don't think
yes, T4 is the wild cherry. T4 is the wild cherry.
T4 is the wild cherry,
yes.
It forms, it gives depth to the screening between the leisure centre and the apartment site at Forest Court. It's not immediately visible, but, in winter, when trees are defoliated, the more depth you have in that screening, the better it is. So at that point, it does contribute.
Okay.
Not enormously, but it does contribute. And it is, of course, visible for anyone visiting the site, and the site is publicly accessible.
Yes.
So
it's not publicly accessible.
Okay. Any more questions?
Yes. Am I right in saying that none of these trees are actually causing any particular issues that have been brought to your attention? I mean, often when we're looking at TPOs, there tends to be some kind of detriment caused by the tree, whether it's too close to something or it's swaying or it's causing shade over something.
T1 has a number of, it's a horse chestnut, it has a number of health conditions, if you like. But they don't merit taking it out at this time. Even in a public highway situation, the Leicestershire County Highways will maintain trees with those conditions, and they will monitor them. And maybe in time there will be a gradual crown reduction as part of that, managing the decline of that tree.
Okay.
So you wouldn't necessarily say that tree shouldn't be maintained.
No. And there's no there's no... Not sort of dangers, but you know what I mean, in terms of the surrounding area. They're
well,
not
providing the tree, and it is recommended to have works carried out by the objectors and consultants, you know, that those works should be carried out on it as a protected tree, so they can make an application to carry out those tree works to help maintain that tree. It's quite an important tree, it's quite an historic tree, it's 150 years old. Thereabouts, so you know, it's a substantial tree that was there going back to the time it was originally a vicarage grounds.
Is it possible just to get a bit of a timeline? My timelines are muddled. So it was in a conservation area. When did the unauthorised works fit into that? Was the conservation area?
While the site was in the conservation area, there were some unauthorised works undertaken on the tree.
Before any of this?
Yeah. Okay. So it was in, that was because it was in the conservation area and we were all authorised.
Okay.
Anything for you, Holly? Okay, thanks very much. So I can't think of anything else at the moment.
Okay.
So I'd like to hear from the objectors, please. Are you from Shakespeare's or from Golby and Luck?
Chair, I'm Richard Thurling, I'm from Shakespeare's.
Yes.
I'm Martin Earle.
I'm Dave Carter from Golby and Luck.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Would you like to present your case and let us know what?
Thank you, Chair. I think I can deal with this in a long-winded way, which I'm sure no one here would thank me for, or we can take it quite shortly.
Yeah.
we'll go for the short version.
Sure, let's start with the short version. We might elaborate.
That's all right. You know, conscious of time. I think what we can say is you've heard that. In summary, the making of this tree preservation order was in response to the changes to the conservation area.
Yes.
That was the motivation for the assessment and the making of the order. What we need to consider is the visual amenity. And the difficulty we have, and I think it's something you alluded to at the start, is the fact that the council's assessment, and we take no issue with Ms. O'Donnell's qualifications, accreditations in any way, shape or form. It's just that there is no written form of assessment there as to the visual amenities. It's very, very difficult, therefore, to understand what the basis is for it, what the merits or dismerits are. So what we did was commission Golby and Luck to go and prepare a report. What Mr. Carter has done, he's used a form of methodology known as the TEMPO methodology, which he's consulted to a great length if required. But in short, that's a sort of objective set of criteria for assessing trees,
yes.
Not only in terms of their quality, but unfortunately it is in relation to their visual amenity. There's quite a detailed report, and it explains how each one is scored in terms of visual amenity, the quality of the tree, etc. And it works through in a structured, logical process. And it's that the guidance which the council's helpfully appended, it's at Appendix 3, I think it's page 75, when it talks about visual amenity, says you should do. You should go and take this structured approach. And it's so that just, you know, there's a consistent approach taken when assessing a tree. So, you know, two identical trees, you know, one's in, one's out, that doesn't happen. You know, they're either both of merit or they're not of merit because you've been through a process. Having been through that process, Golby and Luck's report concludes that a number of the trees that are proposed within the TPO don't merit protection. That's where we get to. And at this point, I'd like to probably just ask Mr. Carter to provide you with a plan, because I think that helps. And it's a visual representation.
Oh, I'm really sorry, you can't present any information.
Well, the information is already in the report.
Okay, so if you just let us know what page it's on, we can
have a look. Mr. Carter's report tells you which trees can or not are proposed to be included.
Yes.
So you remember the objection I put in. All the detail of the objection concludes that only trees T2, T5, T9, G1 and G2
yes.
are those which, having been through the assessment...
Just addition to that, that is only the only tree to be assessed and add to client's ownership. There's also a trees T10, T11, T12, T13, T14 and G3, which
yes.
are... in the ownership of Leicester County Highways and the churchyard, which obviously we don't take any issue with as well.
Because we don't own or control.
No, you don't. Yeah.
And then, of course, you have...
So what was the point you were making about those trees?
The point I was making was, at the moment, you've got that
plan, yes.
which shows all the trees those from inclusion. Now, at the risk of being told off, what Ms. Carter has done is use that plan and has shown you which trees
are
fair inclusion and which trees are not.
Is that in here?
That's all he's done.
He's
done. All he's done is shade it to show which trees are red and show which ones after his assessment, enough proposed to be included. I think that is just based on their information, and that will greatly assist you on the council because it provides a visual representation.
I see what you mean. Yes, I'm just looking for where that plan.
What page is ours on?
That plan is not included in the agenda,
but we've got a plan. 10.
The plan that you have is page 42. Okay.
But that's the one you've suggested.
That's the picture of the. Yeah.
So just for the committee, the plan that's been submitted is the one. That's the TPA plan. They're trying to show you what the objectors are trying to show you is another one that they have devised but have not included in any of their representation.
Right.
Well, it's based on the report. All it does is show visual representation, what's already in the report.
So you're saying we can't accept
it? No. Because there was a deadline for our submissions.
We can go through and mark up the plan in front of us, but it just takes a bit longer, that's all.
If the committee want them to do that, to show them what the changes are.
Or you can just have that one which shows it. That's the point. I'm not, honestly, I understand the process, and I don't mean to place the officers in any form of difficulty. It's simply that it just provides a visual representation to show that really there's not a lot between us.
I mean, the only thing is, legally, it will just stick sort of with our constitution that says we can't accept anything. It may take a bit longer, but let's mark up the plan maybe as a way.
Well, in which case,
make sure we don't take any permission.
With Mr. Carter's benefit, and if everybody's got a suitable pen to hand.
Yeah, would it be quickest to simply mark up the trees that those aren't to be included there? Because there seem to be more that are.
Yeah, absolutely.
The
first tree that would not be included is tree T1.
I'm also still struggling a bit as to why we're doing this.
Because Councillor Capleton, they want to go with a different plan to what the TPA.
Yes,
what
I understand
TPA,
that.
Yeah.
But what their plan is actually derivative of this one, isn't it?
Yeah, but basically they're going to take some of those trees out.
Bit,
no, they don't want to add. They want to take some of the trees out.
I see.
Yes.
But I'm trying to understand is why. What are you trying to demonstrate?
Yeah. Well, Councillor Capleton, I think the point is this: at the end of this process, however it goes, Chair, you'll be asked to make a modified order, either by the council or by ourselves.
Mm.
Yeah. And what the council are asking you to do is to modify that order, not to remove any of these trees, but to update the schedule that accompanies it, because there were some errors in the names of the trees. So you will be asked to make a modified order. What we're saying is, having been through that objective assessment, that Goblin Luck used using the tempo assessment, a number of these trees don't merit protection. Now, you've had that material's all in that report.
Yes, I'm
sure you have, sir. And so what we were trying to show you is a plan that shows that there's actually a limited number of trees that aren't merited for protection. I thought that might be helpful, because that's ultimately what we'd asked you to do, to amend the order to take some trees out.
Right, well, yes. Okay, we take your point. Nola, do you have any comments?
Well, I think that T1 is a very important tree, and it can be retained, and their own report recommends work, remedial pruning, so that seems to suggest that it could be retained. It's got a retention lifespan up to 20 years. That's a conservative estimate, according to their methodology. So I see no reason why that should not be afforded protection.
Right.
20 years of a substantial tree that's 150 years old, I think is merits protection. It does have a number of issues, which of course the report does highlight. But as I've said before, even in the county highway situation, trees with these conditions are managed. They're not felled.
Right.
And they can, have protection. And I think it's important to retain this important tree.
And there's nothing to stop, if the TPA is over it, they can apply to do works.
They can apply to do the works.
Effectively.
They can carry out the remedial pruning by applying. If you confirm the order, they can submit an application to carry out the tree works.
The difficulty, if I may, is that those aren't the grounds for making a tree preservation order. The grounds for making a tree preservation order are that they're based on the immunity
of the tree.
And we say that having been assessed against an objective assessment, this tempo assessment, which isn't just used, but it's not something that Mr. Comfrey has dreamt of.
No.
It's a recognised standard. It's used by other authorities, including Hinckley and Bosworth, including North West Leicestershire District Council, with whom this authority shares a number of services and benchmarks itself against, you know, in certain respects. And when assessed against that criteria, T1 is found wanting. It doesn't merit protection. That's not the same as it will be removed.
No.
That's a very different point. It's just that it doesn't meet the criteria for protection.
Well,
I think we're talking two different criteria here, aren't we? I fully accept what you're saying with your tempo evaluation, and I have read it all. Yes, it is. You score the points, and if they're over above this or below that, you get. But whereas what we're saying is, or what Charlwood is saying, is that we have an amenity assessment which looks at their trees but doesn't consider whether they are, you know, long term viable or not.
If I may, sir, to Mr. Picasso, the difficulty there is, I would say, where is that amenity assessment? It's not written down, it's not before you, it's not before us. If one were to challenge that assessment, it's simply up here, which is why, I don't want to make any submissions on the point, but it makes it very difficult for either ourselves or indeed yourselves,
yes,
who are being asked to confirm this order, to say that it would be reasonable to make that order and say that it was of sufficient amenity value, because there's nothing before you that demonstrates that. The only thing before you demonstrates that it's not of sufficient amenity value.
I would say that they've underscored in a number of points, and they've missed out. They've classified this tree as a tree with poor form, or which generally unsuitable for their location. But they've missed out the historic context of it.
Is that from T1?
And that would have been a score of 3. That's in their tempo system.
Yes, is that from T1?
This is T1, the horse chestnut. Which is a substantial dominant tree in the site and can be seen from the leisure car park.
Yes.
Oh, it would contest the visibility of the tree.
I've photographed to prove it.
I mean, if I've walked the site this evening, I've been involved with this site
and
my employment with Charnborough Council until April 2017, and for a couple of years subsequent. So I know this site very well, I know the trees very well. The horse chestnut tree is in decline. It has potential to carry on living for perhaps up to 20 years. The issue is it simply doesn't attain sufficient amenity value, which, coupled with the fact it is of poor condition, because in considering TPOs, and I challenge the fact that an arboricultural assessment hasn't been carried out by the council, you need to consider both their condition as a tree and their amenity value. The tree is not visible from the leisure centre, and as you can see from the TPO plan, there's a substantial group of beech trees, G1, that obscure views. Approaching from the southwest on Woodbrook Way, the tree is also entirely screened by trees T2 and T3. Very, very glimpse views visible. The clearest view of the tree is from Forest Road, directly to the south. Again, there are a lot of intervening objects, including a much more prominent row of highway trees here, which and buildings, which obscure clear views of the tree. Notwithstanding that, it is somewhat of an unattractive tree due to the fact it has Camararia leaf minor, which is the condition which makes the leaf scalp for much of the year. In Miss O'Donnell's report, Appendix D, there's a picture of a tree. I think you'd agree with me, it's perhaps not something that attracts the best visual quality. And that is what has informed our tempo assessment. This isn't a tree of particularly good condition. It's what we've described as over mature and declining. It doesn't attain significant amenity value, and that's why we do not consider it appropriate for TPO. Going back to the absence of, you know, with the council's assessment not being informed by assessment of tree condition, I find it quite alarming that this hasn't been included. Having been involved with TPOs throughout Charnwood and throughout the wide country there, and appeals procedures and litigation associated with those, if you are not certain of trees' conditions, their potential longevity and safety, the council has to understand this when making a TPO, where it may become liable to certain items such as public injury. This isn't a particularly safe tree. It has a lot of cavities in the upper canopy where it has been pruned back heavily in the past. It is really important that our assessment and a systematic method such as that, as we have used in Tempo, is used when making TPOs. I can go into more detail about the other trees if you like, but as Richard set out, I think it's very clear we've given this a considered approach and a balanced approach. The valuable trees at this site are retained within this TPO in the way that we want to modify it, and those are, as Zola pointed out, Ms O'Donnell pointed out at the start of the meeting, those of the highway, Forest Road, and those at the boundary to the leisure centre. The modifications we propose this either order are, you know, really to remove trees of very limited merit. We're quite happy to accept that the majority of those are significant, and we've reserved protection for those, and we hope that you would agree with that.
So the amendment you'd be asking is to exclude those that you don't think viable?
Absolutely. I mean, there are some trees in there. I am not sure how we've arrived at the decision to include them. T4, for example, incorrectly species listed, is in fact a wild cherry, not a Norway maple. It's a heavily suppressed tree. There's much more dominant group of beech next to G2. The nature of that canopy suppressing a cherry means it is asymmetric in its form. Yeah. Trees of that form are highly susceptible to being blown over the wind because they have unbalanced pressure on their root system. That's the primary reason for excluding that. Again, T6, T7, T8, you struggle to find any public views of these trees. T7, again, species incorrectly listed, but it's a tree you should see over garden fence. It must be 4 metres tall and in a very declining condition again. So we're not removing trees of significant merit. What we've done is a balanced assessment.
And, okay.
I don't think there's anything unreasonable in that.
No, I see you desperately want to
jump. Indeed, there's a number of points I'd like to make. One is to do with visibility. Within the guidance, which I attached, the government guidance within Appendix B, it talks about visibility,
yeah,
and indeed, from it's not limited to a public space, as in a publicly owned space, but accessible by the public. The public, because there's no restrictions, can actually walk into Forest Court, and people visiting their student children can also come in and visit, so it is publicly visible when you're in the site. This is a vantage from the bridge over the brook. For the extension,
have we got those pictures?
You don't.
In which case, really, I think we're going to have to apply the same rules, so
right.
You can submit anything. Yeah.
Well, perhaps I can describe the picture. When you're standing on the bridge, you have an advantage across to a group of trees that consists of the horse chestnut, the pine, the Corsican pine. I've kind of forgotten which tree this is. I think it's the Norway maple. Let me just double check.
I'm not going to know.
So basically, it's the highest tree is the Corsican pine. The next largest tree in that group is the horse chestnut, and you can see half the crown going down to one side and the upper part of the other part of the crown from that vantage. So you can see the tree from there, which is a publicly accessible footpath. It's a public footpath. And when you're in the site, you've got a complete advantage of the tree.
Yes, you'd have to enter the site, yes.
So that's the visibility and the accessibility for the public. The tree, as I say...
I'll come in a minute.
could be retained, and indeed Mr. Carter has described remedial pruning which could be carried out, and I cannot believe that he would have included a note in his recommendations for works which he's described as priority two to remediate the tree should it be retained, so that it could benefit from remedial pruning to improve its overall condition and aesthetic quality. Because, of course, it was subject to unauthorised works.
Before I go back to Mr. Carter, it's something I would like to answer. We were asked, Mr. Carter made the point that there is no community assessment. What form does it take?
I've described what I did as the immunity assessment.
So there's nothing written down?
It's your report, isn't it? The report within the delegated decision was my report. We don't have it here, do we?
There's a copy of it.
Do we have it here?
The delegated decision is not in the back.
But described my findings, having walked the site and made an assessment. I make the assessment using my professional judgment as a landscape architect as to whether or not these trees are providing any amenity at all. It's not what you would call a fantastic overall example, but it is providing a good amount of amenity. You cross-reference the visibility of the tree with the aesthetics of the tree, with the historic context of the tree. This tree was part of the original vicarage.
Yes.
And it's 150 years old.
Is your assessment in here?
I don't have a written point-by-point assessment, anything like the tempo. Officer time doesn't allow for that kind of onerous assessment. It's not normal for us to put that into our delegated decisions.
Okay.
And I carried out an assessment and I described.
So really what we've got is the results of your assessment, not the assessment itself.
The delegated decision.
Mr. Carter, you have your hand
up. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just briefly on public visibility of the tree. I've acknowledged where it was a very glimpsed view from the bridge linking the leisure centre to Extension Car Park. I would not suggest that glimpse views of trees, the tree which is predominantly obscured by an evergreen pine tree, is sufficient value for a tree preservation order. On public access to the site, on completion of this development quite recently, the whole site is now gated with COVID access, so it is restricted solely to the users of that site. It is not a public space.
I drove in.
Oh, really?
There you go. May I chip in?
Sorry, yeah.
Just on the visibility point, you were referred to page 75, it's there, may well have read it and know it inside out, but that does deal with visibility. The first point it deals with was a bit of saying about taking a structured approach, which we covered earlier. Underneath visibility, it says it's to the extent that the trees or woodlands can be seen by the public will inform the authorities' assessment of whether the impact on the local environment is significant. The trees, or at least part of them, should normally be visible from a public place, such as a road or a footpath, or accessible by the public. We're not splitting hairs here. The point is, you know, if you want to turn the legal definition, it's private land.
Yeah.
It's accessible by the...
that is a public facility, isn't it? But is the rather crucial difference there. What that clearly envisages is places like a public highway, a public footpath, etc. It goes on to say public visibility alone will not be sufficient to warrant an order. The authorities are advised to also assess the particular importance of an individual tree or groups of trees or woodlands by reference to their characteristics, including its size and form, future potential as an amenity, rarity, cultural contribution to relationship with the landscape, etc. And that's the point that the only assessment before you on those matters is the tempo assessment. Sorry, just to clarify.
No, I mean, the only further point I was going to make
permitted on reference to remedial works I'd recommended to a tree. That comes from the appendix of my report and my tree condition assessment. Those remedial works are made in the interest of my client's liability and the safety of that tree, not whether it should be retained as a public amenity. It is purely a matter of managing that tree safely.
Any other points anybody want to make?
On the wording here related to visibility, to reread it. The trees, or at least part of them.
Is that 75 again?
Three quarters of the crown can be viewed from the bridge.
Okay.
So that's quite a lot of the crown visible. Should normally be visible from a public place, such as a road or footpath. So the public place is the road or footpath, or accessible by the public. There's a clear distinction there between public place and accessible by the public.
Any more comments?
I'm not going to come back to you on that point. We have a very clear difference of views on that.
Either my colleagues have any more questions or points they'd like to raise?
Just to be clear, so the ones you don't want in are just the ones listed in that conclusion?
Yes, that's true.
Let me just check that.
Which page are you on?
Page 34.
For conclusion 4.4.
That hasn't changed since then. It's just those.
May I? Yes, please.
So can I just clarify one point as well? I think you said a minute ago, but may have missed. Quoted you that the condition assessment was not for the purpose of the immunity test, it's included in your temporary report for your client's benefit. Is that?
Essentially, the way the temporary report is structured is first you go and carry out a condition assessment of the tree. In doing any condition assessment of the tree, however, that's then going to subsequently inform something, i.e., the immunity and tempo assessment. You list remedial works as a matter of liability and safe tree management. That is that recommendation that I refers to. If I wasn't to include that, and I've gone out there as an assessor and notified my client that his tree has potentially hazardous defects, and he's not had the information to act on that, that's why that information is included in the report.
I think the point there, if I may crudely summarise it, was there was a suggestion that because there was a recommendation of works to the tree, then that meant automatically meant that the tree is therefore worthy of attention and protection under the tree preservation. And what Mr. Carter is saying, that doesn't follow.
Okay. Okay then, I think we'll retire and go. So we'll see you about 10 o'clock.
You can use the tree for, that'll be great.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Can we send to your captain?
Yeah. So I can...
Public advantage.